And we say hello to Audrey Anderson. Audrey, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so glad you're here on WGN. It's been a little while, but I saw a story and I knew that we had to chat about it. But for those that are maybe new to the show, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Right. So these past several years, I've been a defense attorney. I defend juveniles and adults from a variety of crimes, from traffic all the way up to serious offenses like murder and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I also represent kids in DCFS cases and parents in DCFS investigations who have had their children removed from that. And then prior to that, I was a prosecutor here in Illinois as well for almost 20 years.
Oh, I love hearing the stories of you as a prosecutor and now doing defense and that switch, and why I think that makes you great at what you do, having been on the other side of things. And it's a story, as we meet more lawyers here on Let's Get Legal, a lot of people go back and forth between prosecuting and defense. And I think that makes them a little better at both of those jobs, perhaps, Audrey.
Oh, I totally agree. It gives an attorney a great perspective on both sides, and it also makes those that are charged with crimes, whether juvenile or adults, it makes them more human and makes us more compassionate as attorneys towards them.
Well said. So, Audrey, the story that I saw that I wanted to bring you on for was a story by Chalkbeat, which is a great nonprofit newsroom in our state that covers education exclusively. So if you're a parent and you've got kids in school, high school, anywhere, Chalkbeat.org is where you can go for some great stories as it pertains to that. They are all over all things CPS and beyond. The story had to do with a new law in Illinois that prevents law enforcement from ticketing students at school. Audrey, first and foremost, I want to know, before this law was passed, ticketing in schools, what are they referring to? Is it a school resource officer issuing tickets or actual police officers coming on campus and ticketing kids? For what? Can you kind of walk through where we were before this law?
Sure. A lot of schools, unfortunately, nowadays have school resource officers. So they're there for safety and security, but they're also there in case some sort of incident or something happens at school. So these school resource officers are actually police officers that are assigned from their local police departments to the schools. These officers volunteer for this job, and they usually have it for a few years. And so when a school has some sort of incident at school, such as a theft from a locker or a fight between students, and obviously heaven forbid some sort of shooting, but mostly these minor incidents at school, instead of the school handling it themselves, the deans or social workers, then the school resource officer, referred to as an SRO, they are the ones that do the investigation. So investigations of bullying and things like that.
Okay, so they do that, and then they were issuing tickets in some cases to students. Is that on behalf of the jurisdiction they work for, like the town, or is that money that goes to the school? I'm just kind of confused on the ticketing process as it was before, whether I'm getting a ticket from the county or the city versus from the school by means of the SRO. Do you kind of see the distinction that I'm asking about here?
I do. And so, unfortunately, if a kid does something dumb at school, such as steals an iPod or a phone from someone's locker, another student's locker, the school can have consequences for that student, such as a detention, in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension, or maybe expulsion, getting kicked out. But there's also the criminal side. So the student could be criminally charged with an ordinance violation or a juvenile delinquency petition bringing to court. So that's what the statute in this article is referring to. So the other student can press charges, the school can press charges. If a student like damages a locker, or there have been a rash of kids setting garbage cans or things on fire, so it causes damages in the bathrooms and things, so the school presses charges. So not only does the kid get suspended from school, but then they get an ordinance violation or a criminal ticket or a juvenile case where they have to go to court before a judge.
Hmm. What was the opponents to this practice saying, and ultimately seems to have won the day with the legislature and the governor? What were they opposed to about allowing this ticketing system?
Right. The opponents who did not like this law, this practice, says that it disproportionately impacts students of color or those that are disadvantaged as opposed to the white students. So that's why they thought it was important to have this law be mandatory as opposed to discretionary, meaning where officers and schools could decide on their own whether or not to press charges.
Why, for those that say, well, why would this, I mean, kids get ticketed or fined based on their behavior, no matter what their race is. Why was this seen by some people as a more unfavorable towards black students or minority students versus white students?
Right, because a lot of these would be ordinance violations, so similar to traffic tickets. So a student would miss school to go to court, and then they would have to pay a fine. And so these fines ranges in hundreds of dollars, and there's also restitution, meaning you have to reimburse the school for damages or for things like that. So a lot of lower-income students would get these municipal tickets and be fined these dollars, hundreds of dollars, where their families were barely making ends meet.
Hmm. So maybe it was a socioeconomic barrier more so than a race barrier, although those two worlds are often intertwined in many ways.
That's very well put, exactly.
Okay, so the new law prevents law enforcement from ticketing students. This doesn't prevent law enforcement from enforcing laws, though, right? Like if criminal activity is happening on schools, it's not like police officers now have to throw their hands up in the air and say, there's nothing I can do about this.
Correct. So for serious offenses, such as a student bringing a gun or a knife or something like that at school or breaking into schools, the burglaries, those officers can still prosecute and the schools still insist that criminal charges be brought. It's just for the more minor violations. And this law also said with regards to truancy. So a lot of times when a student doesn't appear or attend school, after a certain percentage of times that they miss school, then the student could be ticketed and the parents ticketed and brought to court for truancy.
Whoa.
So this says that they can't do that.
Stealing an iPad, I get an argument for why there should be fines there that need to be paid and restitution to the school. Okay, we could debate that, and well, we did, and ultimately determined that that's not the case. But truancy, was this common, that them ticketing students and parents for missing class?
It had been common like decades ago. And in fact, I know a lot of counties had a specific date and time in court, just truancy cases. And it seems it just ebbs and flows, and it sometimes just depends on the school district. They think perhaps this is a good way to get parents involved in ensuring that their kids go to school, or it's sort of like if you charge one family, one student, then the other kids look in it, and it's a deterrent for those kids from skipping school.
Hmm. I think that sounds like a deterrent to people that don't have an issue paying fines, meaning that seems like a top-down solution and not a reality-based solution. Is there evidence that any of these tickets did anything to change behaviors, or did they just exacerbate differences of socioeconomic classes?
Well, it just depends on which article you read or which study you look at as to whether it actually made an impact. So it's difficult really to say. I mean, the thing is, if you want the student to attend school, well, you're sending them to court during school hours. There's no night court for this. And parents that have difficulty or are socially economically challenged, they are taking time off of work, which probably they really shouldn't be or can't, and they have to go to court to deal with all this. So I don't know if necessarily it made a difference. Some people say, yes, it does, because it deters other families or it makes sure parents make sure their kids get to school. And other studies say, no, it really doesn't. It just makes this more difficult.
I don't know where I land on that. Like, I want parents taking their kids to school, and I think it's ultimately up to the parents to make sure your kids are in school. I also recognize that a fine could be a carrot approach that would get me to get my kid to school, and maybe that's the scenario they're working towards, because that also helps teachers do better jobs in classrooms. That probably saves money on kids retaking classes or coming back in the summer, and also maybe sets them up for a brighter future to become better part of society. I get the economics of that, but the reality of it is kids that sometimes skip classes are skipping in, and they're able to without their parents knowing about it because their mom is maybe a single mom or a single dad working two jobs, and then you're fining them on top of it. So I could see why that doesn't work. I mean, I guess I see that both ways, Audrey.
I do. I agree with you. I can see it both ways. And the thing is, the money doesn't actually necessarily get earmarked for the school.
Hmm.
It gets earmarked for the city, and everyone gets a piece of it. The clerk's office gets a piece of a percentage of the fine. The court, the prosecutor, the town, it doesn't 100% go to that specific school. So I don't know that economically it benefits the school. They don't see a lot of that money.
Yeah. So this new law would eliminate the fine of truancy fines, essentially, right?
Right, right.
Okay, amongst other things. Okay, Audrey, I'm not letting you go quite yet. We got to take a quick commercial break. If you do want to reach out to Audrey Anderson for anything, AndersonAA.com. Her number is 630-877-5800. We've talked a lot about DCFS cases. She does a lot of juvenile defense as well. 630-877-5800. What are your thoughts about a new law? Maybe we could get into all the weeds about the new fines, but getting rid of truancy fines, where do you land on that, everybody? 312-981-7200. We'll take some of your thoughts on that and more with Audrey after this on WGN. A couple minutes left here with Audrey Anderson, Anderson Attorneys and Advisors, talking about a new law that essentially removes the idea of tickets or fines by police officers in schools. And we should remind people, Audrey, that if a criminal act has happened on school property, it doesn't mean that these officers are no longer there, right? This doesn't ban SROs from student resource officers from schools, right?
Correct. It does not ban them. In fact, it gives, some would argue, more tools for the school resource officers. It makes sure that the officers that are assigned to schools have the training necessary to be there, as opposed to dealing with a typical patrol or detective investigation. So it gives them specific training to deal with kids and investigations at the school.
Does this shift a little bit of the discipline back to principals and deans?
It really does. That's actually a very astute point of looking at it. It makes it more school-oriented as opposed to just tossing it to the court system for some of the minor infractions, disciplinary actions of students. And it also calls on parents, too, to be more involved because schools may reach out to parents to assist with issues such as getting counseling or things like that for a kid, as opposed to just sending it to court to see if some fine or something else can be done.
I find that fascinating that under the old law or the old rules, if a kid did something wrong, they were fined by the school resource officer, that money collected on the fine doesn't go to the school. It goes to the city. Were there cases alleged of maybe over-fining students to, no one would probably admit this, but fill the coffers of cities that are often trying to balance budgets?
Oh, absolutely. I think that some people do argue that a lot of times where are they going to get resources because they don't necessarily want to increase taxes on citizens of that town or court fines are going down. So this could be, some argue, a good way to have funds for a city for a lot of things that are missing and that are needed.
Okay. One of the fines no longer allowed would be tickets for truancy. Tickets not only for students, but for parents if kids miss class. Chris is a former teacher. Chris, you have some thoughts on this?
Oh, definitely. As far as truancy, I'm not aware of that program. I do know they phased it out in Chicago Public Schools.
Yep.
I'll just give you an example. I had a student that missed 44 out of 48 days, and my principal, I failed her. My principal demanded that I pass her.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I mean, I think everyone recognized, and I think that happens a lot in schools, and the pipeline of just shepherding kids along from one grade to the next simply because it's easier that way.
It's social promotion. And there was a study by Chalkbeat. I have a book coming out on this in about a month.
Oh, cool.
A study on Chalkbeat that said 25% of CPS students missed over 35 days per year. And that's double the amount that Illinois recognizes as a point for concern. We still have to pass them.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I'm interrupting here, Chris, because I'm up against the news time. It's a great point. I don't know the solution to it. I personally don't know if finding the parents gets us there. But Chris, send me a text on the text line when your book comes out. I'd love to read it, peruse it, and perhaps have you on to chat a little bit more about that. I really didn't get Chris's information afterwards. Audrey, as you just heard me tell Chris, we're almost out of time. One more time, who should be reaching out to you, Audrey, for your services, and how can they reach you?
Certainly, you could definitely reach out to us through the phone number or through our website. So it's parents that have issues with students, any kids that are being investigated, adults that are being investigated or charged, all of them should be reaching out. If a police officer knocks on your door, before you talk with an officer, you really should reach out to an attorney that's experienced like us.
AndersonAA.com, 630-877-5800. Audrey, we'll chat again soon, I hope, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Quick break, then news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll be back with Let's Get Legal next Saturday at 6 p.m. after Hochberg with Wendy filling in, and Your Money Matters on Monday at 6. Time for this break.